Hey guys, what's going on? It's me, CJ, the host of the Beastmaster Podcast, and this is our first, I think ever, I don't know if I ever got around to it, on the old format of the show, but this is our first ever Weapons Wednesday. I'm sorry, this is going up a little late, so if you don't hear it on Wednesday, I get it, but rest assured, it was recorded on a Wednesday. So, the given item, or, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a weapon. I'm not always going to cover a weapon, but today's is a weapon, and it is the Oath Bow from Pathfinder. At least that's where I first discovered this kind of weapon, and I have used it in this kind of ideal of like a weapon that you swear an oath to. As I've used this idea in other ways since, and I don't always use it just as this one item. So essentially what it is a bow that appears to be a, you know, +2 longbow, and it whispers swift defeat to my enemies in the language of, you know, whoever forged it, and it whispers this whenever it is knocked and pulled. But once a day, if you swear to slay your target, this happens as a free action, the whisper becomes a shout of, and death to those who have wronged me. And against this sworn enemy, you get a +5 enhancement bonus. The arrows launched at this target deal an additional 2d6 points of damage. And you get a 4x critical hit modifier instead of a 3. So, but this also comes with some downsides. Like, it only counts as like a masterwork weapon against all the other foes once you have sworn one is your enemy. So you also take -1 on attack rolls with any weapon other than the oath bow while it's sworn. And these bonuses and penalties last for 7 days or until the sworn enemy is slain, whichever comes first. So yeah, you can only have one sworn enemy at a time. You cannot make a new oath until they are slain or 7 days have passed. So, and even if you slay the enemy the same day as the oath, you can't activate the bow's oath again for 24 hours. So it's a really cool idea. Albeit in Pathfinder, it was a little busted, especially when I first encountered it. When I first encountered it, it was used against a really powerful Frost Giant War Chief. Our ranger got this thing. He was a half elf, and like this old elven man in a village gave it to him, and we were psyched, because, and so was our DM, because we were gonna have this big battle with these Frost Giants and this like cool boreal forest environment. It was really sweet, and we were all looking forward to it. But when, I mean, we knew what the Oath Bow was, so we weren't like discovering its properties. But when we actually got to the fight and the chieftain showed up, we realized that a additional +5 to hit on top of the bows, +2 quality, along with our ranger's insane bonuses, along with our giant slaying arrows, along with the additional 2d6 points of damage the thing does to its sworn enemy, it tends to level whoever it's pointed at. It does an insane amount of damage. You're almost guaranteed to hit while you're shooting it. It's especially if the character in question is at all proficient with a bow, which usually the bow person is proficient with a bow. So when you give them a crazy bow, they go crazy. Now, true, this probably may have not been a suitable level for us to receive such a powerful artifact, but it was definitely an interesting item. It was not by any means of the imagination boring, and in a lot of fights later it really shined, because our DM kind of figured, oh, I can't have like one bruiser style enemy, because even if it's not a bow, even if you make like take this similar idea of like an oath you swear to your weapon and it gives you a bunch of bonuses against like one, like that guy, you point your sword at that guy and the sword's like, okay, until he's dead or a week has passed, you get insane bonuses against him, but everyone else, you're not as good at fighting at it. It makes you really good for 1v1s, and it really can increase whoever's wielding an oath weapon's DPS against a singular target by a lot. And that's why you, as a as our DM kind of found out, you have to vary encounters. He still would throw, you know, big bruiser monsters at us that our ranger would get to, you know, because it's a game. You want to make all your players feel like they're cool, and you don't want to give this ranger like a super awesome item and then never let him use his toy. But he would vary things up a lot more after the kind of anticlimactic boss fight with the Frost Giants. Especially because there weren't like a whole lot of them, and I mean, we were like mid-level, we were all level 8-9, but this oath bow just, I mean, it melted the Frost Giant Jarl. It was crazy. So to kind of prevent a fight that really did have a lot of emotional investment and time investment on the DM's part, making this fight feel like epic, to prevent that kind of anticlimax again, we got a lot of different and really cool, varied, like, you know, boss fights to dungeons. Some dungeons didn't even have boss fights, and they would just have like a giant puzzle. Or he threw this dungeon at us where the final boss was a sphinx with a riddle, and he basically said like, the sphinx is, it won't kill you, but it won't let you leave the dungeon until you answer its riddle, and it's like in a force field, so you can't attack it, and it's way higher level than you, so you have to play this thing's game. And it was, of course, we never figured that out, because we kind of got flavor of the dungeon before coming to that conclusion. But it was like a cool kind of boss fight where you had to have gathered the clues from the dungeon to help you guess the answer to the Sphinx's riddle, and the amount of intelligence checks we were allowed to make was very minimal. It was more to connect clues than just like, oh, have I heard this riddle in a bar before? It was a lot more of, it felt like an encounter and less like just something the DM had shoehorned in there to pad out the dungeon. So I guess I got a little off topic, but to kind of come back to the concept of oath weapons, they're very powerful. Giving a player, or even an enemy, if you could want to do that, you could have this, actually, I've never thought about this, a really interesting boss fight would be to make a, like, you know, the anti-paladin or something have an oath sword that he uses, and he like engages the party's cleric in melee combat and just, you know, eviscerates them with this oath warhammer or something, because they don't like people of that cleric's god, and this weapon doesn't either. So they make an oath, and they get to down one of the party members really quickly, and that can throw off the party, especially at lower levels. And then you kind of give them the oath part of the weapon is almost like a one, at least on an enemy, a one-shot ability, since it can't, it can only, the oath can only be activated once every 24 hours, and only once every week, if the target is not killed within 24 hours. So this, these weapons, they also make for really cool, you know, items for bosses to be, you know, to use against your players, because it's almost like, you know, a dragon's breath weapon, or, you know, a vampire's, like, hypnotic suggestion thing. They're kind of like a supernatural, like a supernatural ability that the boss gets to use that can make them feel distinct, especially if you've built in, like, oaths and vengeance into the villain's kind of repertoire. Like, that's kind of what they're about. Like, if they're all about vengeance and revenge and that's what drives them, then yeah, it makes sense that they have a sword that does a lot of damage if they swear vengeance against somebody. So stuff like that, I think is just really cool. And that's like a really good way to use an oath weapon. Another really good way I found to use oath weapons was oath weapons make for really good intelligent items. Because then you basically, you don't get the de facto, like, you know, demon in a sword or angel in a sword kind of deal. You get, like, a person, perhaps. And they did this for, you know, X reason, and they want why, and instead of being like, you know, I'll mind control you and make you do what I want, you know, like some weapons can do, they can dominate their wielder, you can have them say, hey, look, if you do this, if you fight these people, or if you fight this way, or you promote this cause, or you seek to discredit this cause, I can help you by giving you a massive power boost to this one area. And it really is less about, well, what kind of item is the oath weapon. Like, it becomes less about, is it a sword, is it a bow, is it a, it can be whatever, it can be, you know, whatever the kind of weapon that the main person that this is kind of tying into their storyline, it can be kind of whatever it is to them, and you don't have to make it fit the very, that was one thing I always didn't like about Pathfinder, was how everything was very stat blocked. It didn't leave a lot of room for creativity with your magic items. One such magic item that I always really liked for a long time was the Flame Tongue Longsword. And it was really cool. It was a flaming burst longsword that once a day you could cast one Searing Ray bolt, and it was really cool. But it becomes a lot less cool when you give it, like, a generic name. Like, it is a flame tongue from calling it something like the flame tongue. You know, because as far as the PCs are concerned, there's not more of these. Like, kind of that demystification of magical items and the demystification of certain monsters, it really hurt, in my opinion, a lot of the high fantasy stuff in Pathfinder. And the Oathbow also suffers from this. So the way it's described in the Pathfinder core book, it would seem that there are tons of these things floating around. Like, you know, but to me, a weapon that can do that much, that really is, like, it may not be mythical, and there's probably more than one, you know, in the whole world, but there's not that many. I mean, you find one of these things, and better yet, their wielder, they're probably pretty badass. Like, you know, it's, to me, I really emphasize, you know, role play and immersion in my games. I really love that stuff. So if I can, you know, get to that even more through my, you know, NPC connections, through the items I have, that's like all the better for me. So I think really kind of trying to put the magic